This is the Vince Wheelock interview for the F1 book for April 18th, 2007. From Miami, Florida. I had called a bit earlier, and I guess I spoke with your wife. I am working on a book on the development of the Saturn V F1 engine. I was in Huntsville last week, interviewed a number of people, including Frank Stewart, and when he knew I was coming over, he gave me a list of people to call, which included you. I have your book, by the way, and I'm finding it very informative and helpful to me. But I started work on this book some months ago, and with the publication of your book and the recommendation of others, I wanted to give you a call and see if you could spend a few moments speaking with me about your work at Rocketdyne, specifically in relation to the F1, and I was hoping you could speak with me this evening, or if you need another time, I could call back.
No, that's fine, but it's kind of late for you down there, isn't it?
Well, it's just the nature of the business. I'm glad I was able to speak with you. I was, of course, it is late to be writing a history of the F1 engine, but not too late, I don't think, although there are some people I won't be able to speak with. Dom Sankini was, of course, one of them closely involved with the program. I won't be able to speak with him. But
if you do, let me know.
Now, he passed away in the late 90s, didn't he?
I don't remember exactly when, but that's about right.
Yes. Anyway, I have been going through your book that you put together with Mr. Kramer. And when I saw this book, I said, you know, this is a book that had to be written. And I'm glad that you were involved in it, putting it together. I know as an author, putting together photography is really tough, but apparently you've had your finger on the source for quite some time. So I would like for you to, let me tell you a little bit about my background. I've been writing for like 25 years now. My recently published book is called Lunar and Planetary Rovers, The Wheels of Apollo and the Quest for Mars. And it was published by Springer Praxis several months ago. And it describes the work and development on the lunar roving vehicle for the last three Apollo missions, and as well as a chapter devoted to the Mars exploration rovers and a final chapter on future rover designs, hopefully part of Project Constellation. We'll have to see. But I've always been intrigued why there has never been a book written on the F1 engine, and when I was asked, what did you want to work on next? I told him I'd like to tackle this subject. So I'm doing the best I can, trying to track down people who worked on the program, both at Rocketdyne and at Marshall.
Could we back up just a minute?
Yeah.
How do you spell your last name?
My name is Anthony Young, Y-O-U-N-G.
Y-O-U-N-G, that wasn't too hard.
Uh-huh. And my book publisher is Springer Praxis. If you... you go to Amazon and type that into the search engine, my name, or Lunar and Planetary Rovers, you'll see the description.
Got it, okay.
You'll see the book. So, I could send you via email my chapter breakdown so you have a bit better idea of how I'm doing this, but I'm breaking the book down into... I'm working on the chapter right now on the origins and development of the F1 engine. And what year did you join Rocketdyne?
1958.
Okay. And what programs were, what was your degree, I guess?
Mechanical engineering.
Okay.
From Iowa State University.
Okay. But before I go any further, I want to say something that I tell everyone that I interview. And this is something I've always done. Anytime I've completed a rough draft or an article, where I've interviewed somebody and their comments are included, they always get a copy of the draft to read it through and make any corrections, and there are usually some corrections, deletions or additions if something comes up, but I find everyone appreciates this, and it's what I've always done. It's a matter of course for me. I have a little saying, once it's in print, it's forever. So I'm trying to get my facts straight. There are a lot of facts involved in the F1 story, so I want to do my best to make certain that everything is accurate and true. And so I just thought I'd pass it along when I complete this chapter. Wherever you're commented, or if you'd like, you can review each of the chapters. That might be a good idea if you have the time. But I was in Huntsville interviewing a number of people that were involved with the program, from Sonny Morea, Frank Stewart, of course, a fine gentleman by the name of Daryl C. Hall, who had a wealth of information, photographically speaking. Much like you, he's collected a lot of material during his years at Marshall, which included a lot of photographic material, and that will be of help to me. But what programs did you start on in the late 50s and in 58?
Well, the Thor program, and I was in the field engineering organization pretty much all the way through my career, and I started out at Edwards Rocket Base on Thor, getting familiar and working on the test stands and stuff, and then went to Cape Canaveral in January of 1959, and we were launching the Thors down there, primarily from a ballistic point of view, getting prepared to deploy to the United Kingdom in England, the Thors. I was down there, 9 months to a year, and they needed some people with launch experience at Vandenberg Air Force Base, so I wasn't married at the time. I moved around pretty freely.
Okay.
Then they transferred me to Vandenberg, where the Royal Air Force people were coming over with their team in preparation for handling the Thors as we went to deploy them to England.
I see, yes.
And then that went on for about a year or so, and then I went on to the Atlas program in San Diego. Was down there for a couple, 3 years, and F1 program was just getting started in Huntsville at Marshall, and I transferred down there in 1964.
Okay.
And kind of went through the test program at Marshall, and I did work with Sonny and Frank Stewart. Quite a few of the people out in the test division.
Okay.
Anyway, that's kind of the F1 exposure to things.
Okay. What were your duties then working on the F1 program at Marshall? Were you a liaison engineer? Would that be accurate or no?
I was the field manager of the operation down there for Rocketdyne.
Okay.
And we had engineers. I'm sure you got exposed to Marshall NASA and how they work. In San Diego, on the Atlas, different places, we did the hands-on work. But in Huntsville, NASA sort of decided to do the hands-on work, and we did engineering, liaison, if you will, practically all cases, except we had one technician down there, Murray Myers, that had been with him a number of years on the Redstone Jupiter program and stuff, that worked for Rocketdyne.
Okay.
And he did the specialized maintenance work, if you will. And then what we had was a couple of engineers, different numbers, depending on the division they were supporting, the qualification division, the manufacturing division, the test division.
what it was called. Was there a dedicated office for Rocketdyne engineers, or were you within a Marshall, did you work within a Marshall Group office structure?
Well, the answer is yes to both. We had, there was a little warehousing type of a building called Building 4313,
mm-hmm.
right near security, and that's where our central office was. They didn't want a central office in any one division necessarily, and there was three or four or five, plus the supply operation worked out of there. And then in the test division, there is an office with several people located in it. And in the qual division, there is an office with several people.
Several, you mean Rocketdyne people?
Rocketdyne people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
I'm talking Rocketdyne all the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the, and then we did not have an office in the program office as all such, but we spent a lot of time in and out of there depending on what they wanted, you know, at the time. I think Bill Lee Ballou was number one. In the,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And then under him was Bill Brown and as assistant.
I got to speak with Mr. Brown.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I screwed up in my book, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Your secret's safe with me. Why did you make...
No, they probably know it, but on the space shuttle main engine, when we were chugging along through there, we had a picture. There's a picture of Frank Stewart and Paul Kassenholz and a bunch of the troops, and R.F. Thompson from Houston. Anyway, and I had Frank Stewart labeled as the SSME, or Space Shuttle Main Engine Program Manager, and actually Bill Brown was the program manager. Frank Stewart was, I guess, some of my words are safe with you.
Yes,
Frank Stewart was more visible than Bill Brown was in the Space Shuttle Main Engine world. And so I ended up giving Frank Stewart the title of
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, let me tell you, when you're recording so many facts in a book, even though you have a dozen people going over the whole manuscript like I did with my last book, invariably there's always something that creeps in that everybody overlooked, and it's unavoidable. It just, you know, you do the very best you can.
Well, so far, you know, I kept track. We've had about four or five different errors in the book with different people's names and how we, you know, how we call them out, what have you. And,
okay.
But anyway, nothing real serious other than, you know, I was supposed to, one was Al Sobin, we have Bill, we have Bob Sobin in there, and I got Frank Larry, and it's L-A-R-Y, and one time we got it L-A-R-R-Y, and of course they picked it up and put it the name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the index?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But anyway, so much for that.
Okay. Would you say your activity at Marshall really started with a test program at Marshall, or did it precede that? For the F-1.
For the F-1, of course, it was off and running, you know, in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Cycles.
Mm-hmm.
That was before, you know, when the contact was kind of let, and they started doing work on it. Facilities out at Edwards Rocket Base.
Okay.
Actually, they built facilities first up at Santa Susana.
Right.
But they didn't do the total engine test up there as kind of a chamber, 1 million pounder type thing.
Mm-hmm. And short runs at that.
Yeah.
I guess.
And then they finally got out to Edwards, and they were still horizontal out at Edwards initially, and they were at an angle, you know, they weren't vertical.
I think I have some pictures of that.
Yeah.
Without the extension, the nozzle extension, just the thrust chamber with the gas generator exhaust. right around it, but no extension on it. I was curious to find out if they did test the F1, the early F1s, in the semi-horizontal position, and I guess that's the photograph I'm looking at.
When you say F1 engine, the F1 thrust chamber would be the way I would put it.
Okay, yes, yes.
The engine, total engine tests were, I think, all vertical.
Okay. So, how is the thrust chamber test conducted then? There has to be a turbo pump on there, isn't
there? I think it's pressure fed, very short duration stuff.
I see. Okay.
And you don't need a pump when you've got enough pressure in your tank to get started.
Okay, because, yes.
I think I'm right, but I don't have a lot of the development background on the F1.
Okay.
I have more of the cluster test program and stuff like that.
So how would you define your role at Marshall then during the F1 program in the mid-60s then?
Well, we brought in the F1 engines and did a lot of modification work to them because it was early in the program, and then these early engines were tested on the single engine test stand, and they did have a turbopump stand there. They're called the bobtail stand, I believe, at Marshall.
Yes, they did. I even have pictures of that.
And then we moved on up into the production world, the S1CT, the test vehicle.
Yes.
And we started with that and did, you know, a center engine test, and then did the cluster test with the test vehicle. And while this was going on, they were building S1C1 and S1C2 in the manufacturing lab at Marshall. That while you're up there.
I didn't get out to the test labs, but I did speak with people who worked there at the time.
And anyway, they clustered it together and ran several tests. And, you know, we were continually modifying it, and we were putting thermal protection on the outside of it. You know, the F1, or the S1C was an open boat tail, they call it, or open aft thrust. Structure, and did quite a few tests there, and then run the production. The first two flight birds through there that were built at Marshall, and then the third flight bird came in from the shoe. And all the time, you know, Boeing was running the first stage operation, and you know, Marshall was very protective of things.
Yes.
A couple of books, I just wanted to be sure I kind of jumped subjects on you here, but you're aware of the book called Stages to Saturn?
Oh, yes. Bilstein's book is excellent. Very good.
Yeah, very Marshall biased, but it's...
Well, of course, that's understandable. And that's what I want to try to... I want to try to avoid this. There is a balanced story here, and I want to make sure I present that. And when I spoke with Sonny, I wanted to make absolutely clear in my mind what was Marshall's involvement, and so I could better understand Rocketdyne. So,
you know, give them a lot of credit. They were very active and in a hands-on role, if you will, of testing and handling and all sorts of things, to be able to judge the program, not judge, but evaluate the program as you proceeded down the pike. And there was, you know, we had our troubles early with combustion instability and a few things like that, but we did it. The reliability, you know, it's 100% reliable engine.
It is, yes.
As far as the flight is concerned. And then, are you, one more other book, that's Alan Lorry's Saturn V book.
Yes, I have that also.
Okay, so you've got everything.
Yeah, Alan did quite a lot of traveling to put that. He did. What's good is that he wanted to fill in the gaps in terms of Saturn V. That, and I've seen it's very helpful. But I always I have felt for some time that the F1 was such a magnificent achievement and resulted in America's greatest technological achievement. And felt the story needs to be told, so that's what I'm working on.
Sure, okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. How many years were you involved at Marshall on the F1 program then?
I left there at the beginning, the end of 66 when we finished the last S1C3, I think it was, or did we test two Boeing birds up there? But anyway, from 1964 to through 1960, I was there 3 years about.
Okay. Okay.
And worked with Frank and Sonny, and Sonny was number one. Frank was his deputy on the F1 program.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Adams was the gentleman we interfaced a lot with. Peter Grau with quality, and Carl Heinberg with test, although I didn't interface too much with Carl. I did interface more with Dan Zisco, and then more with Harry Johnstone, and the little test group. Now, I was a field manager. I kind of floated from one division to another, trying to help people out. You know, what did our people need to support NASA and all this?
Mm-hmm.
And we brought in a lot of mod teams that upgraded different things. We had welding teams in on Kellogg's pressure switches. We had mod teams in on thermal protection. And I forget what else. And then our one technician, Murray Myers, he would do certain things that weren't of the, what do you call it, specialized skill areas.
Okay.
But and there's, I don't know how serious you want to get about all of it, but there's a couple of people out on the Canoga hen, Bob Biggs, I don't know where that name is.
Of course, I've come across his name numerous times, but trying to find him is another...
Well, he's still working at Rocketdyne,
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I thought he was retired.
No, in fact, what is this? This is still April. I think next year he gets 50 years in. I mean, next month he gets...
Is that right? Well, I do know a couple of years ago he did make an F1 presentation at the AIAA, I believe it was, or at least wrote a paper on it. But that's all I know.
Yeah. Well, give him a call if you want to and tell him we like.
Okay.
But he's, if you want to take down a number, I can give it to
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah, that would help me because... Frank gave me a number of people here that both at Marshall and at Rocketdyne that I should call, but he didn't have Bob Biggs' number, so.
Yeah. Well, Frank doesn't have email.
Right.
And I had to do snail mail with him in any of my discussions, and I can give you my email address if you want that later on.
Okay, that'll be great.
Bob Biggs.
Okay.
This is his work number.
Okay.
Area code 818-586-4459.
586-4459.
Right.
Okay.
And, he worked the F1 program pretty much all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ted Benham, was a senior project engineer on it. You know, I'm sure as you talk to old-timers as you move down the pike, you'll find a few of them that are pretty knowledgeable and a few of them the old age is kind of hit on. And
yeah.
So I don't know how it all works, but Ted Benham, he comes to retire, he eats breakfast. He was a senior project engineer on F1.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still around in the scheme of things.
I do have his number at 818-222-2869.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's from...
Let me flip my little book here.
He even gave me Paul Kessenholtz's number.
Yeah, and Paul never worked the F1 except in combustion and stability.
Oh, I see, yes.
And I know Frank and Frank Stewart and Paul keep in touch with him. And I talked to Paul here, when the hell was it? Well, our president, Byron Wood, retired, and they had a kind of affair at the at the Reagan Library thing here, and I talked to Paul for a while there.
Okay.
And they had all the J2 people in, you know, with the J2X.
Yeah.
Knowledge and what have you.
I understand Mr. Snoddy at I think that's his name at Marshall. One of the first things he did, I read an article where he wanted to pull in these guys who worked on it because, and it occurred to me, he said, well, yeah, that would make sense. So I'm glad he's done that.
Well, it was done a couple of what the heck is this? It was last fall, 6 months ago or so, whenever they really got started in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have about 20, 25 of them along the line. And I still go into Rocketdyne, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still badged to go in, although I'm not on anybody's payroll. We got off into several projects and things. They want to research history or what have you. And
yeah.
Trying to figure out who has the real patent on the aerospike engine and things of that nature.
Well, that's a whole story right there, something that should have been pursued, but I don't want to go there right now.
I understand.
So
I'm not a heavy, I guess, technical expert on the F1.
Right.
We brought the engines in and kept everything moving from a field engineering and logistics point of view.
I understand.
Bringing in the mod teams and things of that nature, and then setting up the test teams, and they would bring in the super engineers and what have you to assist wherever.
So you would say if a new development or a change order of a significant nature came through at Rocketdyne, these would have to be incorporated on engines at Marshall, is what you're saying, something like that.
Oh, yes, right.
Okay.
And there was quite a few of them in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it was, and we, you know, we had our little problems as we moved down the bike, and I've got quite a few pictures, you know, showing single engines going up and engines going in S1ZT. I am sure you've got all that kind of stuff probably.
Well, I'm going to go through Harold Hall's stuff here, but some of the hardest things for me to come across are personnel photos. I mean, pictures of either meetings or individual portrait shots. And this is important because I want to put a face on the F1 engine program.
Yeah.
And
in our book, there's an org chart in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we could. I have quite a few head and shoulder shots in our book, and they're not real crisp and clear. Mm-hmm. Went through the old North American Skyriders and things looking for people's pictures, and Rocketdyne was not real good about archiving things in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you found, okay?
Yes.
And you got to know people, and you asked what they had, and so on and so forth. And people started being very cooperative on loaning stuff, and then my wife is pretty good on the machine. She'd scan, you know, the pictures, and we'd put them on CDs. And because I wasn't about to let any pictures go directly to AIAA.
Exactly. I've been fortunate in that respect, where I've got a scanner, of course, and many times that's the only time I can get copies of the photographs.
Yeah.
And I return the original source material FedEx with a tracking, so I know it gets there and they know it's on the way. But if it's a digital photograph, that's as good as if I had scanned it myself. So if there are some key individuals that you feel should be included in this book that you've got images of, that would help me out greatly.